The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
With Donald Trump back at Capitol Hill yesterday for the first time since the January the 6th riots, and his opponent in the forthcoming election, President Joe Biden, doubling down on the United States' commitment to Ukraine, election rhetoric has been hotting up in the US in recent days. Terry Sheridan, who's managing editor of WSU Public Radio, joins me now. Terry, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you, Pat.
So what was Trump's mission on Capitol Hill?
His mission on Capitol Hill was twofold. One was to appear to be coming back as someone who is, I don't want to say a victor, but hey, I'm here, I'm returning, you know, as especially as we go into the convention season within a month. And then the other thing was to, you know, it's hard to believe that he had to do it, but to shore up support among Republican Congress people for him, and also to show them that they have his support.
Now, there was a famous handshake between Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump. They actually hadn't met or spoken since Mitch McConnell decided that the election was legitimate and Joe Biden was president.
That is right. I mean, again, there is no love lost between Mitch McConnell or Donald Trump. Donald Trump has made various remarks about Mitch McConnell's mental acuity, especially after his series of strokes in a fall. But again, as Mitch McConnell has come out, he hasn't supported Donald Trump, I mean, officially or endorsed, but has said that he would vote, you know, for the Republican nominee. So, again, I think it's a matter of Donald Trump trying to portray a message of like, I have the Republican Party. I am the Republican Party.
Does anybody really understand how he has them all in thrall? I mean, it's unbelievable to think that they all could be that stupid. They can't be. I mean, they're bright people, educated people, many of them, with the exception of Marjorie Taylor Greene. But, you know, they cannot be all that stupid. How does he have them in thrall?
Well, there's a couple of theories, or I should say a couple of trains of thought. One is that they are attracted to power, and Donald Trump is power, pure and simple. And if you want to be powerful, you need to be with the most powerful person in the room, which in this case, in the Republican Party, is Donald Trump. The other thing is that while they may not, and we're seeing polls now that are starting to reflect this, while they may not like or they may not appreciate Donald Trump's lifestyle, they believe in some of what he is proposing or at the way that he is proposing it to potential voters. So, again, they want to line up between that. They see, you know, jobs slipping away, or they perceive jobs slipping away out of the United States. So they can get behind that message. They feel downtrodden by various laws that have been passed or various initiatives over the past couple of years. The big thing also, too, is the whole debate over trans rights here in the United States. And Donald Trump and the Republicans are against it. They'll take an outlier and make that a big part of their rhetoric to stir up their base.
Now, the big issue was after the Supreme Court struck down Roe v. Wade was abortion. And Trump, knowing that this is some sort of weakness on his part, has cautioned Republicans against being very negative on abortion.
That's right. He has. And again, this is something where Donald Trump has wavered throughout his life. But, you know, especially over his time as president and in the past 4 years, in which he's saying he's taking credit for having Roe v. Wade overturned, that he put the justices on the Supreme Court that did this. As you said, he's also warning that don't dwell on this. We have it. Don't go any further. It's only going to hurt. And then again, he'll waver back and forth to take credit, you know, and to say that he is against abortion. So it's something he's trying to play both sides on this.
Now, you mentioned the Supreme Court and how he stacked it, which he did. And it was within his gift to do it, given that Mitch McConnell had stopped the appointment of Merrick Garland in the Democratic reign. But the Supreme Court, I saw a story overnight that Judge Clarence Thomas, one of the Supreme Court judges, has been found to be taking freebies that he did not declare, even more than he had declared.
Well, that was the thing, even more than he had declared. Investigations by the New York Times especially has found that over the years, especially from certain billionaires, that he's been taking gifts. Now, some of them have been rather extravagant. The ones that were released or acknowledged over the past couple of days were round-trip flights that maybe included one overnight stay or, you know, just a return trip in the same day. Now, again, this is all for Harlan Crowe, who is a Texas billionaire. But Harlan Crowe has had, even though he hasn't had direct cases in front of the Supreme Court, there are cases that he has or ideas that he has supported both financially and out, you know, and publicly that have been before the Supreme Court and that Justice Thomas has ruled on.
Now, are there any voices in the Republican Party at all casting a skeptical eye at Trump and saying maybe this is the wrong guy?
Not publicly. You'll get a few, you know, you will get a few that you know, that I guess the you'll get a few that'll do it, but most now have not. Most of them, you know, I would say that Donald Trump really does have control of the Republican Party. It is his party. Now, are there people who are just going along for the ride, you know, put up and shut up? And if anything happened to Trump, he lost, he actually went to prison, you know, anything happened to him health-wise would fall away. But no, I mean, again, right now there are really no Republicans who are strongly critical of Donald Trump, even the ones who ran against him in the primaries, you know, Ron DeSantis, you know, they are now supporting him. So it's quite the scene. Mm.
Now, I have a short clip, and it's part of a longer interview given by the former speaker, Paul Ryan, and he is someone who is definitely not going to vote for Trump.
I don't support Biden either. I think his policies are terrible. I hate the fact that I feel like I got to write in a Republican like I did the last time in 2020. I voted for him in 2016, hoping that there was going to be a different kind of person in office. And I do think character is a really important issue. If you put yourself above the Constitution, as he has done.
But what happened?
I think that makes you unfit for office.
So Paul Ryan saying this guy puts himself above the Constitution, self-interest above the interests of the country. But Paul Ryan is no longer in active politics. He may well return in time. But how significant is that voice?
Well, I think you said it right there. He is no longer in politics. He is no longer considered a player and no longer has any influence. So, yes, there have Republicans, moderate Republicans, even conservative Republicans who don't like Donald Trump. They've been pretty much jettisoned from the party. So while he can say that, will it affect the meat and potatoes of the Republican Party? Probably not. Because he's, I don't want to say a lower tier voice at this point, you know, will it reach people who may be on the fence in voting for Donald Trump? That remains to be seen. I don't think so.
Now, turning to President Biden, and he's doubling down on support for Ukraine, which he probably sees as part of his legacy that he should have helped to save Europe and save NATO from maybe Trump by doubling down at this point in America's support for Ukraine with the treaty. But looking at him in action over the last week or so, he does appear to be increasingly enfeebled, not mentally, but in terms of even the way he walks and moves.
A little bit the way he walks. I mean, and again, if you looked at his remarks that were made at the G7, you know, it's hard to describe that look on his face. You know, he does look, you know, like an old man. Now, here is one of the the mysteries of this election is that he is a fairly active man. Yes, you can see a little bit on the, you know, the walking and whatever, but he still rides a bicycle. He still exercises and is in a much better shape physically than Donald Trump. However, he does look like an old man, where Donald Trump does not.
So there's no prospect of him falling on his sword to allow the Democrats to bring in a younger person who might more easily defeat Donald Trump, given the polls are neck and neck at the moment.
I highly doubt that. I don't think so. Again, you never say never. You know, who thought seven, eight years ago that we'd be talking about Donald Trump running for president now? But I do not see that happen, barring any serious medical issue, you know, on Biden's part.
All right. On that note, Terry Sheridan, Managing Editor with WSHU Public Radio, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.